Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg LeSeer, and the message today is titled, How Did Joshua's Life Foreshadow Jesus Christ in the Old Testament? And I want to ask, how is it that Joshua and Jesus both have the identical name?
Grace to you this morning, and peace from our Father in heaven and from Jesus Christ, the Lord of hosts, the captain of God's army. Amen. Our sermon series on Christ in the Old Testament, we've been looking at how Christ is foreshadowed in the lives of the patriarchs. And if you'll recall, we've looked so far at Abraham and Isaac, at Joseph and Moses, last week at Aaron and the temple, and this week I'd like to look at you at the life of another famous Old Testament saint, at the life of Joshua, and to see how Christ is foreshadowed in him and what that means for us. Now, as we begin, I want to remind you that the lives of these Old Testament saints, the patriarchs, we call them, are not simply thrown together by random chance and fortune, but they are orchestrated, planned, prepared by God to be a certain way in order to foreshadow and prepare the world for the day when God would send his Son to the earth. And therefore, they serve as a copy, a shadow, a small model, if you will, of a greater reality that was to come when God sent the Son, Jesus Christ, through whom you were made to this earth to redeem you from your sins. And so today I'd like to talk with you about how God has done this very thing in a real person, Joshua, one of our forefathers who lived in history, a man whom God raised up, who lived a certain way with certain qualities, in order to not only deliver Israel in those days, but to foreshadow the greater Joshua to come, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so we're talking today about Jesus as Joshua through looking at Joshua the saint in the Old Testament. So that's where we're going today. And I want to start off by asking, do you know this guy? Do you know Joshua? Have you heard much about him? I will just give you a brief overview of his life, and then we'll talk about how he points to Christ and what that means for us in this sermon. So let's start out with a little history of this guy. He was born in about around 1500 or so BC in Egypt as a slave. And his own eyes saw the deliverance of Israel by Moses from the hand of Pharaoh. Joshua himself walked across the Red Sea on dry land. He ate himself of the manna in the wilderness. He saw the rock that God, through Moses, made to gush forth with water. When God gave Moses the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai, guess who was with him on the mountain? Not many other people, but Joshua was up there with him. And shortly after that, they went up to the Promised Land, the land of Canaan. They came right to the cusp of it, and God said, now, Moses, send 12 people, leaders, one from each of the 12 tribes of Israel, up to the Promised Land and let them spy it out and bring back a report to the people. Joshua was one of the 12 that went up, and when he came back, he said to the people, the land is good. Let's go up, for the Lord has given it into our hand. But the rest of the spies, except for Caleb, said, no, will not go up because there are giants up there. They discouraged the people. And so for each of the 40 days that the spies spied out the land of Egypt, because the people did not believe in Joshua and Caleb's word, but rather rebelled, God said, for each day you'll wander a year in the wilderness. That's how you get 40 years in the wilderness. So Joshua wandered through the wilderness. He was a mighty captain, a commander of the army. He was a minister with Moses, an apprentice, if you will. And when Moses died, God said, that's the man I want to be captain and the leader and the successor of Moses over the people of Israel. They crossed the Jordan River. They conquered Jericho. Remember that? The trumpets, the walls come a-tumbling down. Remember that song? And he conquered the whole of the promised land for the Lord and brought the people into their goodly inheritance in the land of Canaan. There's his life in brief. So we're now on the same page. Let's talk, though, about how you are Israel, how Jesus is Joshua, your Joshua, and how God is doing the same thing with you that he showed in the Old Testament pages here, your story in small, in miniature, of a greater reality that you're now in and living. So, first thing we want to ask is Jesus and Joshua, are they together? Is Joshua really a foreshadowing of Christ? Let's look at some points that God would share with you today. Number one point, Joshua and Jesus have the same name. Do you know that? Joshua, Jesus, same name. Wait a second, that sounds different to me. Well, let's take a look at this. Numbers 13. Here it is. They're getting ready to spy out the land. They're still in the wilderness. And the Lord said to Moses, "Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I shall give to the people of Israel." And from the tribe of Ephraim, Hosea, the son of Nun, was chosen. Verse 16, these were the names of the men Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Hosea, the son of Nun, Joshua, which in the Hebrew is Yeshua, which means liberator, to be victorious. And it ultimately means Yahweh is salvation, or Yahweh delivers, Yahweh saves. That's what his name means, Yeshua. Well, where have you heard that name else in the scriptures? It only occurs one or two other places. But the most important place it occurs is in Matthew chapter 1. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she's found to be with child of the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man, unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." So, Jesus, Joshua, you still say, wait a second, they're different names. Well, that's because you don't know languages. Jesus is the English word for the Greek word Jesus, which is what you'd see in the Greek, which is the Greek word for the word Yeshua, Joshua. And so, of all the names God could have chosen for his son, remember he did it through an angel, he appointed the name, he said his name shall be Joshua, Yeshua. So if you want to be a little more biblically Hebrew-oriented, instead of calling him Jesus, call him Yeshua, because that's his Hebrew name. Joshua, they got the same name. And in fact, if you look up in King James Version, Hebrews 4, verse 18, it talks about Joshua leading the people into the land and giving them rest. The King James Version translates it, Jesus led them up. And you say, wait a second, it was Joshua who did. The word there in the Greek is Jesus, which is always translated Jesus, but it is obviously speaking of Joshua. The words are the same. Jesus' name is Joshua. So do you think if God chose this name, appointed this name, commanded the angel, this shall be his name, Yeshua, and you have the great Yeshua of the Old Testament, do you think the two to go together? Absolutely. This is God's plan, because he wants you to see in your Yeshua this Joshua foreshadowed and fulfilled and superior, because he's doing the same thing Joshua did with Israel, but he's doing it with you. And he's doing a greater and superior thing, which we're going to look at here. Next, what was Joshua commissioned to do? Well, it says in Numbers 27 that at the death of Moses, it says, the Lord said to Moses, "Take Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand upon him, and cause him to stand before Eleazar the priest and all the congregation, and you shall commission him in their sight." So he's going to be the new leader of Israel. Lead God's people. And where is he going to lead them? It says here in Deuteronomy 1, Moses is saying that the Lord was angry with me also on your account and said, "You shall not go in there." Moses wasn't allowed to enter the promised land because he sinned once. Once. That's just once. But he wasn't able to enter. Next line, Joshua, God says, "The son of Nun who stands before you, he shall enter. And encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it." That was Joshua's job, to cause Israel to inherit their promised land, the inheritance that was designed for them by God. So what has Jesus come to do for you, your Yeshua, since you are Israel? He's come, commissioned by God, to lead you into your inheritance there. Not to a patch of real estate in Palestine. We don't need to pack our suitcases and go to Israel. But God has prepared him to bring you into that inheritance in heaven. As it says in Hebrews 11, verses 14 and following, the Old Testament saints, people who speak thus, make it clear that they're seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they'd gone out, Middle East, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he's prepared for them a city. Do you know that you have an inheritance? That you are Israel wandering in the wilderness? That your Yeshua is commissioned by God to lead you there to a great land flowing with milk and honey such as you've never seen or even imagined? As Jesus said, Matthew 5, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Matthew 19, "Everyone who's left houses and brothers or sisters and father or mother or children or lands for not my name's sake will receive a hundredfold and inherit eternal life." Jesus says in Matthew 25, "The king will say to those at his right hand, 'Come, O blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.'" Ephesians 1, Paul says, "In him, in Christ, you also, who have heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, and have believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, which is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory." Can you actually look right now with your spiritual eyes, though you have not been to the land of Canaan, though you've not seen the promised land, you have a promise, just like they did. You have a greater Joshua, and God is leading you there. And you're going to see that land when you cross the Jordan River. When you die, you will actually enter that promised land that God has for you, which is there. As Paul said in Acts 20, "And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified." So I'm so excited about that today. It's true. My Joshua, my Yeshua, is leading me home to the land of my inheritance. But we got to be concerned. I'm going to bring a word of warning here now. What happened with Israel? Joshua went up to spy out the promised land. Let's read about that. Numbers 13 once again. Joshua was one of the 12 who went up. Did Israel all get to go to the promised land? God intended them to go, but it didn't happen. At the end of 40 days, they returned from spying out the land, and they came to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the people of Israel in the wilderness of Paran. The spies of Israel are returning. Okay, and what do they say? "We came to the land to which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Yet the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And besides, we saw there the descendants of Anak," that's the giants. "So they brought to the people of Israel an evil report of the land which they'd spied out and said, 'The land through which we've gone to spy out is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And what happened? Israel's heart melted with fear. They fainted, and they just said, "We ain't going up there. No way. Giants? Forget it. Egypt looks pretty good. We're going back to our land of sin. That's too hard up that way." But Joshua, it says, Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb were among those who spied out the land, rent their clothes, and said to the people of Israel, "The land which we pass by to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, he'll bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their protection is removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them," they said. That's what your Joshua is saying to you today. Because when we go through the wilderness of this sin, sometimes it looks easier to go back to Egypt. Forget the Christian life. Forget the inheritance. Go back. Go back. That's what the devil's whispering in your ear. Jesus is saying, go on. And if Jesus is Joshua, I'm Caleb, standing next to him saying, go up, go up, don't turn back. For as Jesus says, he who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom. And remember who it is at your head, the great commander of the army. What did God say to Joshua when he commissioned him? Joshua chapter 1. Listen to a couple of these words. Joshua 1, right here, he says, "After the death of Moses, God said, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land which I'm giving them. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, as I've promised to Moses. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I'll not fail you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Be not frightened, neither be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Now, do you think it was a coincidence that we had Matthew 28? I put that in there today. What does Jesus, our Yeshua, say? "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father," etc. "For lo, I'm with you always, even to the close of the age." It's almost identical to Joshua 1. I want to ask you today, we've had this challenge about the ablaze, sharing our gospel with other people, marching as the Lord's army, conquering in a greater war, taking the promised land, extending God's kingdom over this earth. Have you been afraid of the giants? Have there been some whisperings in your ears? "Don't go up, don't go up. The sons of Anak are there. Strong, fortified cities. You can't do it." That's rubbish. Forget all that stuff. We have not only these bracelets, we got the Word of God. We got Jesus with us saying, "I'm with you always. I got all authority in heaven and on earth. Now therefore, go up. Go up. I'm at your head. I'm leading you. Don't be afraid of them. Share my word and conquer for me." You know what? We are in a better battle than they were. When Joshua led them across the Jordan River, they took the promised land by force. Remember? They took Jericho, a fortified city. All they did was blow a trumpet, sound their gospel, and boom, the walls came tumbling down. God has given us a land to conquer too, which is the world. But we don't use a sword, the physical one like they did. We use the sword of the Spirit. You are Israel. Joshua, Yeshua, is commanding you to go, to conquer for him, to bring people's hearts to salvation before the great day of the Lord comes. And we're not to be afraid of the giants of the land, but to go up. And remember who is at your head. Remember Joshua when he was just starting out in the promised land? He was on his way to Jericho, hasn't even fought anybody yet. Who does he meet on the way? This is really cool. He's walking along the road by Jericho. He sees a man standing before him with a drawn sword in his hand. He says, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" And he says, "No, but as commander of the armies of the Lord I have come." And then Joshua falls down at his feet And the man says, "Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place upon which you stand is holy." Sound like we've met this guy before? Is this not the Lord who appeared to Moses at the burning bush, said the same thing? Take the sandals off your feet. And Joshua fell down and worshipped him. Have you met him today on your road to Jericho? Is he standing before you? Is the greater Joshua with his drawn sword in his hand standing there right now saying, "I have come as commander of the armies of the Lord. None shall be able to stand against you all the days of your life. Go up, for I've given the city into your hands." Come on. "Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. For I'm with you always, even to the close of the age," says our great Joshua. And Paul says, "Thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumph." And we got a great word here too with Joshua. When he took Jericho, how many people lived? How many people survived out of that onslaught of the city? Just one and her family. Her name was Rahab, a harlot. When Joshua sent spies into the city, it says that she gave friendly welcome to them, helped them to escape. And the spies said, "Behold, when we come into the land, you shall bind a scarlet cord, a red cord in the window through which you let us down. You shall gather your house, your father, mother, brothers, and all your father's household. And when we come to conquer this city, when we see the red scarlet thread, your house shall be spared, all who are in it." Does that sound like there might be a foreshadowing in there too? When our greater Joshua comes to exterminate, to judge this world, he's going to look upon your windows. See that scarlet thread, that is the red of his blood, that faith that you have in him. And when he comes to conquer the whole city, just like with the Passover, it shall pass over you. There shall be mercy upon Rahab's house. There shall be mercy upon your house who have believed in Jesus. And Yeshua will not destroy, but will show mercy upon those who fear him, love him, and believe in him. So this is the guy at your head today. I'm talking about Joshua. Can you say Yeshua for me? Yeshua. Thank you. He is our captain. He is our great God. And as he succeeded Moses, Moses had to die first. So also the law had to run its course and be done before our Lord came to bring us grace through his cross, through his resurrection. Oh, man. Ooh, he is so much the greater Joshua for you. He has brought you salvation. Yahweh saves is his name. He has brought you forgiveness. He has brought you reconciliation. He has brought you power. He has enlisted you in his army. He is bringing you into a goodly inheritance. There's nothing but goodness in this Joshua that you have. And so let me conclude then with three things about what I think all this means for us as the people of Israel. Number one, as we said, when Jesus has commanded you to go up, you should go up. "For though there be giants in the land, they shall be as grasshoppers before you. For the Lord himself is with you. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage." Secondly, when Joshua took Jericho, right after that, right after he takes a place like Berlin, he goes to Dirtwater, Alabama, a tiny little podunk town called Ai. And the whole host of Israel falls before just a piddly little town with no defenses. They run from them. Why? Because there was sin in their midst. A man named Achan had taken some of the things of Jericho, of which Joshua said, "Don't take any of their devoted things." And so the people of Israel fled from their enemies because and could not stand before them because of sin. I want to ask you today, oh Joshua's army, is there any sin in our midst that we need to cleanse out? Is there an Achan here anywhere who's causing us to be Achan? When it comes to the gospel message, nobody can stand before us. But we need to make sure we're right with the Lord when we do that. So let's cleanse out any sin that we have. And the final word is this, which is found in Joshua chapter 11. This also, boy, am I looking forward to it. Joshua 11 23 says, so at the end, so Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord had spoken to Moses, and Joshua gave it for an inheritance to Israel according to their tribal allotments, and the land had rest from war. You tired of this world? I get tired of this world. Sometimes I'm like, everywhere I look, it's just like death and destruction. It's driving me crazy. I hear this here, and I see that there, and I look over here, and then I see lies and doctrines being taught and movies and billboards and stuff. It's just driving me crazy. But you know what? Our Yeshua, our Joshua, is bringing us to a land of rest, where there's rest from all of our war. But today's the day to fight, to stand up for him. For we're conquering this land, this kingdom, this earth. We're extending the gospel message for salvation. But we're coming to a land where we don't have to worry about fighting anymore. We can lay up our shields and our swords and God's great armory and look back one day and say, oh, I remember those dents, those bumps, those bruises, and look at these scars that I had once on that great day of the Lord, and wear them proudly. But you will have rest on that day. And so I conclude with this. Have I not commanded you? Be strong, says our Lord God to you, and of good courage. Be not frightened, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God, he is with you. He is with you wherever you go. In Jesus, Yeshua's name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called How Did Joshua's Life Foreshadow Jesus Christ in the Old Testament? A broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lucier, and if you're looking for a church home, or if you'd like to stop by and just visit, our services are Sunday at 8 and 11 a.m. and Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the Recreation Center. If you'd like to hear more messages or leave a comment on this one, please visit our website at christlutheranchurchcapecanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our souls. And God bless you.